couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We have another packed week.
It is a crazy week again.
Packed week at
Seriously.
The Fat Guys at the Movies.
What is going on?
The
it's
magical
August.
Studio in the sky is filled with movies.
We're supposed to be taking long naps in August. Seriously.
This has been the most insane week. This has been the most insane summer. We have had so many movies coming out, and just other things that I'm dealing with. We're all dealing with other things
in
our lives.
There's all stuff going on.
Nazis and
I blew
ninjas.
Off everything this week, so, you know. And I'm still feeling a little crazed.
And you're still exhausted.
Yeah, I am.
But we have four movies. We've got We're the Millers, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, Planes, and Elysium, plus some news and DVD and Blu-ray reviews. Let's just jump right in here.
Let's do that.
Get through the paperwork here. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and get a hold of us on a web. On a web. Not just any
web. Just one
of
them. Just pick one.
Some web. You can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can reach me on Twitter if you want to yell at me about my opinions on movies at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
Let's talk about box office really quickly. I have to say I'm kind of glad I don't have to do a victory dance.
You're too tired?
I'm too tired to do a victory dance. I would have to stretch.
And I personally am too classy to do a victory dance. So,
Are you implying I have no class? I believe last week
from that what you will.
I insisted I have class. Anyways, Two Guns, we were both right. Two Guns came in first for the weekend. I predicted $35 million. You predicted $32 million.
Yeah. Okay. We were both over.
A little bit over. It was at $27 million, which is actually, well, here's the thing. $27 million was good for the movie.
Yeah.
And it was along the lines of other Denzel Washington $20 million openers.
Yep.
It was not as big as Safe House, but I don't know what happened with Safe House because that was like 40
That was
million.
In January, too, yeah. Wasn't it?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
That made no sense to
no.
me. But Two Guns did well enough. It wasn't huge, but it did well enough.
Yep.
The Wolverine sunk to $21 million and it's at $95 million domestically. And then the Smurfs 2 is the big story of the box office week. It didn't do too well.
That's a big story.
It was a big number two.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It had $18 million for the weekend, which is $27 million for the five-day run. And that's actually less than the three-day run of the first film. They've got a third film planned.
Oh, great.
But here's
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be busy that day, too.
Here's the saving grace for you
yes.
for when you plan the Smurfs 3 screening on your birthday in a couple of years.
Right.
The first movie made most of its money overseas. It had some insane $500 and some million.
Right, yeah.
And only like 150 of that came from the United States or North America.
Mm-hmm.
So we have yet to see if the Smurfs 2 is going to live up to its predecessor or down to its predecessor, however you decide to look at it. The Conjuring made $13 million, kicking it over $100 million for the box office at $108 million.
And that is impressive.
That is impressive. It is... It's going to be, like, I think the second highest grossing R-rated horror movie, only to The Exorcist.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And The Exorcist was a huge hit. Nothing's going to come close to that right now. But, yeah, a summer horror movie that's R-rated?
Seriously. Yeah, I don't understand what's going on at the box office lately. If somebody could explain it to me, what is going on,
yep.
I don't know.
We roll down with the same things. You know, like, Turbo's... $6.2 million. Poor Turbo. And RIPD is off the top 10. Ryan Reynolds is not doing well.
No.
Maybe if you did a movie with Denzel Washington again.
There you go.
Pacific Rim is down to number 10 and only made $4.5 million. It's at $93 million right now. But the big news is it's going like gangbusters overseas, particularly in Asia.
Of course it is.
Which everyone predicted.
Yes.
And it's at over $300 million worldwide going into the weekend, so...
There you have it.
Yeah, good for you. All right, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's move right on to news.
We've got a ton of news.
Lots of news. First story I want to talk about is an insane, stupid, moronic venture capitalist named Hunter Walk has called for movie theaters to have better lighting in the theaters, Wi-Fi access, outlets to plug in laptops, and to allow you to text and tweet during the movie.
Now, to be fair,
yes,
he did say that this could be like a side thing.
Yes.
So not for everybody.
Okay.
So this is a choice that people could go to this theater, but I agree. It's still ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Seriously. When that starts happening,
yeah,
that is when I stop going to the theater forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, you're a venture capitalist. You could probably rent out a theater and watch the movie yourself, and who cares?
Yeah, that's true.
And tweet all you want. Mm-hmm. I've only tweeted through two movies in my life in the theater, mm-hmm. and that was Temptation by Tyler Perry and Abduction with Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner, yes.
Both of those, I just happened to be the only person in the theater.
Right.
I thought it was safe.
That is okay. But seriously,
yeah.
If you can't turn off your phone for 2 hours,
yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah. He's like, oh, well, it's so people can, like, look up the actors on IMDb. I'm like, wait 3 months and watch it on your home video. I'm sure this guy has a great screen.
He probably does.
He probably has a better viewing environment at home than his local theater. There are greater injustices in the world that need to be addressed before we worry about people who are getting yelled at for texting and tweeting.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I'm going to give you an offer, an alternate opinion.
Yes.
Even though I'm generally against texting and tweeting and using phones
okay.
of any sort during a film experience.
Mm-hmm.
I would be happy if a theater wanted to do this. I would say, you know what? Yes, do it. Make it, you know, like we have, like Lennox is one of the theaters in town. It's got 24 screens.
Sure.
Do two or three of them mm-hmm. as texting, tweeting theaters. And then enforce it in all the other theaters to
not
do it.
Definitely.
If they did that, I'd support it.
If that gets rid of those idiots who are texting through the entire movie right in front of me and blinding me with the light from their phone, I am all for it.
Yeah. So
get rid of them.
But sadly, I don't think it would. I think you just have people doing it and be like, hey, turn it off. Shut up. Shut up. You're stupid and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to listen to you. That's exactly how they talk, too.
Pretty much, yeah.
But they would still be there. That's the thing. The biggest problem is the theaters actually don't enforce it. That's why, like, Tim League and the Alamo Drafthouse,
mm-hmm.
that model is great.
Yep.
Because if you're in a movie now, like, if we were seeing a screening, they'll have reps and security there, and we can go tell them, say, hey, this idiot's...
Theoretically.
Well,
You're very good at yelling at them. I do appreciate them.
I do yell at people. I also bypass any sort of politeness when I go to a security. I just go and I tell them they're taking pictures of the movie.
Nice.
I don't say, hey, they're using their cell phone to text. I say, I think I see somebody taking pictures of the movie.
That's awesome.
And then they'll go do it because that's their job to protect the print.
It's true.
But if you're in a regular movie... Or, like, especially at, like, one of our big things, we got a 30-screen theater. If you're in, like, one of the way in the back, you'd have to get up, walk half a mile just to get to find somebody, a place that somebody would be, and then you have to find somebody there, and then get somebody who's going to go in there and say something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So.
It's just sad.
I wish they would just
stop texting during movies.
Yeah.
It's rude. And, seriously, ADD.
Yes.
Get some medication.
Yeah. Unplug for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Idiots. All right, the next one. Lone Ranger. This is the next news story. The Lone Ranger is going through their international marketing now.
Yes.
And Johnny Depp has dropped the bombshell that the reason the movie bombed is because...
of American critics.
There you go.
Because we were gunning for the movie from the beginning.
and if you read the stories, I haven't actually seen the original
account.
There's
a whole video. I watched the whole...
Is it bad?
And it's Armie Hammer, too. They're like, oh, the critics were gunning for us, and they wrote the reviews months ago, and they wanted to hate this movie. I was like, you know, I didn't want to hate this movie. I love Johnny Depp. And, you know, Armie Hammer's all right. I went into the movie going, we'll see what happens. And I just...
Well, I think what happens with Lone Ranger in particular is people are like, well, we'll see. It may not be good. And then they watch it and they go, yeah, that's pretty much what I say. It looks like it had production problems. It looks like it had development problems. It looks like they didn't know what they were doing at times.
Mm-hmm.
It basically fulfilled all the stuff we thought.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. As opposed to... Take Avatar, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When that came out, it had all these things of cost overruns, and it's James Cameron's ego gone wild. And then people saw it, and people gave it they're like, you know what? Hey, it worked.
Yeah, okay.
Same thing with Titanic with James Cameron. Same story.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting to note about...
You're all over the place. Where are your notes? Woo!
The other thing to note about international marketing is that's also plays to the... international press, because the international press doesn't particularly like Americans all that much, and so they're like, yes, it's the Americans' fault, and then they're going to watch the movie and they're going to be like, yeah, this kind of sucks.
Mm.
That's our take on that. We'll talk more news later in the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about We're the Millers, Percy Jackson. to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
We're moving into the movie reviews that we have this week. These two actually open on Wednesday. They opened. I don't know why they did a Wednesday opening for these.
It's kind of random. And one of them didn't screen at all. One of them screened at bizarre times with overlapping schedules. And it was a mess.
And the thing that's interesting about these Wednesday openings is usually they show up like before Christmas, before obviously Thanksgiving.
Before a holiday, yeah.
Yeah,
or this is just the middle of August. There's no reason for it at all.
And this is like the third time in like a month.
Yeah.
Because Turbo opened on like a Wednesday and Smurfs opened on a Wednesday.
Well, you know, the kids, they don't care what the weekend is.
No, that's true. So,
they're
anyways.
From school.
Let's roll into the first movie, and it is We're the Millers, however you just choose to pronounce that, whatever region you're from. Jason Sudeikis plays a small-time drug dealer who fakes a family to bring a massive shipment of pot into the country from Mexico.
I have a smidge of marijuana down in Mexico. Bring it back here by Sunday night. I will pay you $100,000.
How would you like to make 10 grand?
Drug dealing?
It's not drug dealing. It's smuggling. Me? Crossing the border alone? Huge red flag. But families,
hi!
They don't get a second look. So I need you to be my wife.
Come on!
Look, I hired this dork that lives in my building and a little gutter punk.
Kenny, meet your new sister.
I've always wanted a sister.
Get it off of me.
We just have to dress up like a squeaky clean all-American family.
I'm not going to say that the best scenes are in the trailer. I'm not going to say the funniest parts of the movie are in the trailer.
You're not going to say that.
I'm going to say the funniest scenes are represented in the trailers, and you get longer, extended versions of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some funny things. It's not a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's getting raked over the coals.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I mean, really?
It has really horrible reviews.
Yeah. And it's one of these movies that, look, there's a lot worse stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot worse.
And all of the critics in town that I've talked to, they've all said, it's all right.
It's not a bad movie. It's not by the people who did Dodgeball, and Dodgeball was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, it's got Jennifer Aniston playing a foul-mouthed person.
Which is always fun.
Yeah, which I think she actually has a career because I've never liked her as a sort of like a warm and fuzzy pretty girl actress.
Rom-com.
Yeah. Like, I thought she was great. I think her best role so far was in Horrible Bosses.
Oh, it was the best ever.
Yeah.
She was wonderful.
She has a real knack for that.
Yeah.
And she can play the quote-unquote villain. And she does fine in this one. And she's 44 and she strips. She
didn't
get naked.
Her.
Don't worry about it. She looks great for 44. And trust me, I've seen some 44-year-old strippers that don't look so good.
Nice.
I've done research.
Well,
hours.
It's good to know that you have done research for your review of this movie.
I am now...
That's the kind of determination and dedication that I really appreciate in you.
I am now inspired to do more research to find the 44-year-old stripper who looks like Jennifer Aniston.
Have at it.
Thank you. Thank you for the permission.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that, honey?
Yeah.
My wife listens to the show. And of course, you won't be my wife or listening to the show after
Sorry,
this
Carolyn.
Episode. Sorry. Anyways, but yeah, you know what I mean? It's funny. It has some moments. And it's raunchy and it's crazy and it's forced at times.
It's an R-rated comedy.
Yeah. The biggest problem it has is that, and I was digging around trying to find out, I said this about another movie and I realized it was This is the End.
Okay, yeah.
When it finally tries to tell a story.
Oh, yeah.
When it kind of gets to that third act and they're like, oh, well, we've done all these funny things. Now let's get everybody together and tell a story and build some characters.
Have some kind of a point.
That's when it kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it doesn't completely unravel, but you're just kind of like, oh, I kind of liked everyone being a-holes to each other. Just doing stupid things, and they're trying to have redemption and all
yeah,
that
really
nonsense.
Yeah, really, go with it.
Yeah.
Just make them horrible people and move on.
Yeah. And that's why a movie like Horrible Bosses, it weathered through that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It did a great job with that. So I'm actually going to give it a kind of rocks, because I didn't expect much from it.
Oh, there you go.
So,
and that's okay. You're allowed.
It's August.
Mm.
That's the theme. It's August.
Yeah.
That's what we have.
It's August. What do you expect?
Yeah. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer. The next one we're going to talk about is Percy Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Sea of Monsters. This sequel finds Percy Jackson and his demigod friends trying to retrieve the Golden Fleece.
I heard there was a prophecy about me.
It would seem that the prophecy was referring to our annihilation.
Our home has come under attack.
The
only thing that has the power to save our home is the Golden Fleece. It's in the Sea of Monsters, what the humans called the Bermuda Triangle.
This is a bad idea.
You don't even know what I was going to say.
You were going to say that you're going after the fleece.
Actually, he was going to say we were.
And why not?
Well, yeah, especially since they needed to heal somebody.
Well, yeah.
Something. Did you see the first Percy Jackson?
I did see the first one, and I kind of enjoyed it.
I thought it was okay, especially for a Chris Columbus movie.
Mm-hmm. It was cute. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I saved it in my DVR so my husband could watch it, which he never did.
Ah. Mm. Crazy man. Yeah. He was busy with me going and researching 44-year-old strippers at strip clubs.
Yeah, that's probably it. He's totally the stripper kind.
I would not. I'd love to see your husband at a strip club because I'm sure he would be wildly uncomfortable. It would just, I could just see him being bothered by the whole experience. Or really getting into it, and then I'd be just coming home like, I'm sorry, Kristen.
You would be very troubled. Okay, so anyway, enough of that discussion. Let's talk about the movie, shall we? This kid's movie.
Percy Jackson. Yes. This one is, you know what, I'm going to say it's very much like We're the Millers. Not in the sense of the kind of movie it is, but it's exactly what you expect. Yeah. It's a kid's movie. It's them trying to find another Harry Potter franchise and kind of misfiring.
Mm-hmm.
And the first movie was okay. It was fun for what it was. Yep. You know, sort of this modern day Greek mythology mix up type thing. And it kind of has the same actors, most of them, and it has the same characters. And they're going on a quest and it works for what it is. It has the same level of excitement and special effects. The big problem is, when it finally decides to become an adventure, it's pretty good. But like the first half or so, maybe a little less than half, it's like still trying. You know, they do stuff to be a kid's movie. Like, oh, it's wacky and crazy. You've seen the trailer with the taxi cab drivers.
Right.
And the car's splitting in half. And they're like, oh, my goodness. Oh, here. Blah, 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 and they're making jokes and silliness.
They don't actually talk like that.
Everybody talks like that. Mm. Whenever I don't care.
Maybe you should have your ears checked.
Nope. but it gets overly cheeky and goofy and silly.
Gotcha.
In the beginning. And that's a downfall of a lot of would-be kids movies.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, once it moves on and says, okay, we are now going to take them into the ocean and they're going to have sea creatures and they're going to have monsters and they're going to be fighting with swords.
Swords.
It works for what it is. It's not fantastic. It's not a new Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah.
But it you know, it's one of those that we've seen a lot of these. There's been a lot of Greek mythology movies lately.
Yes, like there have.
Clash of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans, you had Immortals. So you sort of have this same, and in the first Percy Jackson, you have a lot of connective tissue that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing stuff with Titans, and kind of the plot is a little bit similar to Immortals. Only with less silly hats.
It's true. There were a lot of silly hats in Immortals.
Ridiculous hats in Immortals. So this one, again, I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
I'm going to give it a preemptive suck because it didn't scream.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. Take that, Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it, you know, it's, they'll make a, well, I don't know how well it's going to do. We'll see next week if they're going to make a third one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one just barely skated by to get into sequel territory.
It came out in like February though, right?
Yeah, it was a weird release. But see, this is August. Mm-hmm. So this is where summer movies go to die.
Exactly.
We got to go to break. When we come back, Planes and Elysium. Because we can't get girls!
Yeah. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We have a crazy week going on right now.
Yep.
And it's August, which makes it even crazier because who releases movies in August?
Apparently everybody now.
Apparently. Everybody it's the new is. Thing to do.
Well, I did see a thing like a year or so ago that they are trying to beef up the August schedule. Hmm. It used to be August was almost as bad as like September. Like it was
or
like
January.
Death. Oh, it was like death to movies, but after, you know, in the mid-2000s, it started to get to be a place where movies can make money and come close to making $100 million.
Occasionally, some of those movies will spill over into August a little bit. But when it hits August, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel it when you go to those movies and you're like, oh yeah, it's August.
There's a depression in the air. So let's talk about the next August movie.
Okay, the next one up is Planes. Dane Cook voices Dusty, a crop duster who dreams of aerial competition despite his fear of heights.
For the first time, we have a crop duster in the race.
Well, he's gonna die.
Dusty, you're going up against the best racers in the world.
I'm afraid of heights.
That airplane needs some help. Y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
It ain't how fast you're flying, it's how you fly fast.
You can fly a whole lot higher than you think.
Ballistic!
He's ready.
Hey, look who made it. It's Rusty.
Dusty. Dusty Crop Hopper.
Farm boy.
Now, this movie was supposed to go direct to home video.
Yeah. And it totally feels like it.
I can imagine. I mean, it does star Dane Cook.
Yeah. These are not alien, you know, like Cars, because yeah. It takes place in the Cars universe.
Right.
And that had, like, Owen Wilson and Paul Newman. And,
yeah.
Like, Larry the Cable Guy.
This one stars Dane Cook.
And Val Kilmer.
Wah, wah.
And Brad Garrett. I mean, you're like, Kathy Griffin's not in it, but she might as well. It totally feels like it should have gone direct to video.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, no, we'll just give it a theatrical release. And they're probably doing it for merchandising purposes.
Well, and why not? And they made it in 3D. So, mm-hmm. You know, kids are all over the 3D. I couldn't make it to the screening, so I gave my pass to a friend who has a 6-year-old son who was all over the 3D screening.
Oh, yeah.
It was the greatest thing of his entire life.
Oh, yeah. I took my 5-year-old, Nick. It was the second movie because I took him to Smurfs, too. But it was the second movie he'd ever seen recently because I stopped taking him when he freaked out during Happy Feet 2. And he loved it. He thought it was great. It was very cute. We got popcorn. So it's a great movie for kids.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people are like, why is this not Pixar? If you watch it, you know why it's not Pixar. And even whether or not you like Cars and Cars 2,
mm-hmm.
and you watch those, they look like a Pixar movie. They're slick and they're vibrant and they're colorful. This one has that sort of muted tone of a direct-to-video sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the Disney sequels do that because, like, the Tinkerbell movies actually look really good.
They've done a really good job with the Tinkerbell movies.
Yeah, but if you look at some of their direct-to-video sequels, they're not quite a... They don't pop.
No, they're not quite up to the theatrical standards.
Yeah, and that's what happens with this one. So it's a very standard story. Follow your dreams. Don't let society tell you what to do. Blah, blah, blah. Stuff you've never... You've heard all this before.
Once or twice.
And it's cute enough for kids. I mean, even though it's a direct-to-video sequel, It would work as a direct-to-video sequel.
Yeah. This one seems to skew a little younger than the average Disney movie right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably Nick's age is probably a good, 5-6 area.
Yeah.
Is probably the target audience.
Yeah. It's pretty simplistic and it's pretty short, too. That's the other thing. Pixar movies tend to be about 2 hours.
Right.
And this one's about an hour and a half. But you know what? Again, I'm going to give it a kind of rock simply because
it's August.
What else? What were you expecting?
Well,
this didn't reach the quality of Toy Story. you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr, or Chris and Ryan Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the next movie.
Let's do that. Now that we've built through all of these other August releases, let's get to Elysium. Matt Damon stars as a hardworking resident
Damon.
Of a populated a polluted... Now you're throwing me all off.
I have to do it anytime somebody mentions it.
A polluted, overpopulated Earth who's determined to find a new home on a utopian space station for the rich.
I need to get to Elysium.
Whoever has this money has the power to override their whole system.
Hey, bring down the boom saw!
This ain't gonna kill me.
You can save everyone.
We're gonna break into the most heavily guarded place in the universe.
Oh, yeah. They will hunt you to the edge of the earth for this.
What I want to know, what you thought first. Because you like District 9. Did you like District 9?
I did like District 9.
Okay.
I was a little sick watching District 9 because of the shaky cam and there's that. But I thought, you know, this low-budget sci-fi movie did so much where...
Got
you know,
an Oscar nomination.
Four of them.
For Best Picture.
Yes. When people spend hundreds of millions of dollars and can't do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. So, you know, you take the director and give him more money and an A-list cast and see what he does with it. And, well, it's kind of lacking something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's a lot glossier. It's a lot flashier. It's a lot prettier. But it lacks the same soul of District 9.
Yeah.
And I think it's still an interesting movie, but it's heavy and it's kind of heavy-handed.
A little bit convoluted,
and,
too.
Yeah.
I found myself trying to blurb it. And I'm like, blah, so this guy and he's...
Well, yeah, and where do you cut it off? And I was trying to explain it to my husband last night. And he's like, are you telling me the whole story? I'm like, no, this is just the beginning. It's a little out there. You know, it's entertaining, it's intense, but yeah, it's kind of missing something for me.
Yeah, it's one of the things is, like, and you said it was very heavy-handed. You're very, very correct. If you go back to District 9, there is a lot of political
there
messages.
There is a strong social consciousness in that movie.
Yeah, in District 9. And, yes. But it's the magic of District 9 is a lot of that social consciousness is tied directly to South Africa.
Right.
And there's things that people interpret for other things that are really more of a South African problem that just happen to be global issues.
Right.
This one, he's just like, guess what? The wealthy did
it's
this and
illegal immigrants and it is Homeland Security and
not subtle.
Yeah, militant politicians and Jodie Foster is
and her crazy accent.
This horrible, horrible character who just wants to blow people up.
Yeah,
and she is a horrible human being, and she is a badly acted horrible human being.
Well, she does this weird accent that I think since it takes like. Place like 80 years in the future that they're like, this is what the accent for posh
I don't know what it is, but she is so far over the top that it's really uncomfortable to watch her.
Yeah. It's bizarre because I get the sense that they're trying to say, well, this is how rich people would speak, yet the Indian president still has an Indian accent. I don't know how that happens if he grew up on Elysium.
Right.
You know, so it just it's
there are some things that pop up every once in a while. Like, you know, they put this crazy like Iron Man suit on Matt Damon to, you know, go and fight the bad guys. And I was the first thing I thought was, is he going to have to keep that same shirt on forever? Because he's got this dirty shirt that they like clamped this whole machine on over. I'm like, you could have given him a clean shirt at least first. It would have been nice.
I like just rewatched District 9 for something I was writing for Film School Rejects. And you see a lot of connective tissue between the two movies.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the commentary of District 9, Neil Blomkamp says that he sees Los Angeles as turning into what Johannesburg is, this bizarre, rich, super wealthy area and slums. And he draws a lot of parallels to that. So you see where he went from that to this. But is, and they have Charlotte Copley come in as this crazy bounty hunter type guy.
Crazy mercenary. He is nuts.
But you see them doing a lot of what they did in District 9 with exoskeletons and, you know, these ships and the slums. The other thing with Matt Damon's character is he's really sort of schizophrenic. Because he walks around, he's like, he's all glum, and then he goes, I'm going to make a joke. Ha 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 ha, I'm making a joke. Big toothy grin. And then he goes and he's all morose again.
It is really heavy.
It pops up as weird.
There are people who are sick and dying, and it's just, it's really heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty, but I really think it's a misfire. It's a huge step down, and I'm grading him harsher on it because District 9 was so good. What's your grade on it?
I'm still going to say that it kind of rocks.
It
just squeaks in there.
Yeah, I'm like right on the other end. I'm just going to say it kind of sucks because I expected more from it than these other three movies this week.
It's true.
Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, DVDs and news.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
That's right.
We have more news to talk about before we move on.
Yeah, let's blast through this.
Where would you like to start?
Oh, let's
We've
start
got
with,
a bunch of things
start
here.
Start with how stupid we are in the Midwest.
It's true. We are stupid. You know, in the Midwest, all that lives here is cows and farmers.
And corn. The latest demonstration of that is apparently the Weinstein Company is getting ready to distribute Snowpiercer, which is a Korean movie, and they're demanding 20 minutes of cuts.
Out of a 126-minute movie.
Yeah, so that the Midwest audiences will accept it.
And understand it, because apparently it's too confusing for Midwesterners.
I wanted to, what's your take? I mean, obviously it's insane.
It is.
You know, it's a movie that's doing extremely well in Korea. Release it as is. But what are your thoughts on Harvey Weinstein and his big, thick fingers trying to meddle away?
You know, it's just sad. That's all I can say. It's sad. I mean, okay, maybe everybody isn't as smart as Harvey Weinstein, but, you know, people can kind of understand movies. Mm. I mean, you don't have to dumb everything down. Let people go in there and see what they think. I mean, it's like he's going to put some big, like, musical montage in there, because people aren't going to understand it, so we need a montage.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. This is not the first time Harvey Weinstein has done this.
No.
He is notorious for slicing and dicing, particularly foreign films, for the American audience. The one I really remember was Shaolin Soccer. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
It came out about 10 years ago, or supposed to come out like 10 years ago and didn't come out for like years later.
Right.
And he it was one of those where he cut 20, 30 minutes out of the original Chinese version of it. And it went nowhere. Here's the thing. Ostensibly, this is so Midwestern audiences get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what do you say? Like, I want to make sure people in Omaha understand this movie. These movies don't play well anyways.
No.
Because they're Korean.
And here's the thing.
And they got subtitles.
You know, if the Koreans are so much smarter than we are, why is Pacific Rim making so much money overseas? I'm just wondering.
Just a little dig at Pacific Rim there. Well, my point being is, a Korean language foreign film that obviously has dark, weird overtones generally doesn't play very well in American theaters anyways. If it has real play in America, it's going to be, and the closer you get to water, the better these movies are going to be. You know, like big cities and giant rivers.
That's what, giant rivers.
John Waters always said that. He says, the closer I get to water, my movies do better.
There you go.
But if you're kind of in the, if you're playing, nobody in the Midwest is really going to stampede out to see this movie anyways. And if they do, it's going to be like on a college campus.
Right. It's a small audience, no matter what.
And so it's going to do its biggest business on video. My thing is I question the whole reasoning behind it, because Shaolin Soccer, whether you kept the long version or the short version, nobody went and saw it anyways, because it was a Chinese movie. And we're big, dumb Americans, and we're like, we're not going to see a Chinese movie. We got to read.
Yeah, I don't understand reading subtitles.
Anywho, more idiocy from
Harvey. Oh, Harvey. We love Harvey, because he gives us so much to talk about.
I know. Two real quick things to sound off.
Yes.
What do you think about Ellen hosting the Oscars?
I am all for it.
Okay.
You know, we've had some hits and misses in the last few years with the Oscars. Ellen's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it probably isn't the classiest kind of Oscar host, but I think she handles it really well.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to go. You can go to the sort of like the Broadway spectacle type of host, which would be Hugh Jackman or even Billy Crystal. Or you can go to the talk show, the sort of more
laid-back, casual. Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg, when she hosted, she was a little more like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
And I kind of like the more theatrical version of the Oscars. To me, it feels more formal, and the Oscars should be formal. You know, people get dressed up in really expensive dresses. But I think if you're going to do the casual talk show kind of person, Ellen's a person to go with.
Yeah, Ellen's great.
Yeah.
I think she can do it. Again, this is what, the second time?
Yes, second time.
Good for her. And then finally, Avatar getting a third sequel.
Yeah.
How many Avatar movies are we getting? 15?
Is 72.
72 in the next 168 years.
Yes.
All right.
Because James Cameron has figured a way to keep himself alive for the next 300 years.
Yeah. Basically, Fox is putting $1 billion into three movies.
This is seriously insane.
And my question is, what if Avatar 2 bombs? That's my question. They're just going with the assumption that it's going to do well. And I think
it depends on if the American critics are gunning for it. Because if we hate it and we decide that we're going to hate it, then nobody's going to see it.
Let's get Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer on that stat.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. I mean, James Cameron, his only real miss, if you don't count Piranha 2, was The Abyss, which played soft, but everything else. But he's only released like four movies since then.
It's true.
So, I mean, this thing could bomb.
It could happen.
Or what if part two bombs? Mm-hmm. Or what if part one doesn't make $2.7 billion like the last one? What if it just makes $1 billion?
Oh, dear. That would be sad.
There's a lot to consider, Hollywood. You should talk to us first. Give us a call.
You got our number.
Yep. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about box office.
Okay, this is a tough one.
What's your shot?
You were actually debating this during the break. So what did you come up with?
I'm going to say Planes is going to win with $23 million.
I am going to stick with Elysium.
Ooh.
Because of the crowd at the screening.
Oh, well, they're insane.
They are insane.
That's like the Ohio State Fair crowd.
It was crazy. Like, there was great weeping and gnashing of teeth. It was terrible.
There was. How much do you think it's
going to
make?
I am going to give it 28.
28. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, whoops. I did that again. I wrote my initials there. Mm-hmm. It's KDK.
That's mine. Yeah.
That's yours right
there.
Yeah,
right there.
All right. All right. The only reason I'm saying Planes is because the last couple kids' movies have been a little bit soft. I mean, the only last one was... I mean, Turbo didn't do well, and it's the Disney property, and I'm still thinking $23 million is kind of small for an opening, but...
It's true, but you never know. I mean, it's one of those things that's it's coming out in August, and it was straight-to-video originally. Yeah. It's just one of those things.
I think Elysium definitely has a shot, simply because of the gravitas that District 9 carries in.
Oh, yeah, and it's Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And I don't think We're the Millers or Percy Jackson's going to come anywhere close because they open on Wednesdays,
right.
So it's
and
diluting.
That kind of takes away their weekend box office.
Yeah. So, yeah, whatever, no matter what, I don't think anything's going to get over 30.
No, I don't think it's going to be a big weekend.
Yep. All right, let's move on. And now it's time for us to do the segment we like to call the world-famous...
DVD Roundup.
Yeah.
Woo!
Let's talk about reminds me a little bit of Elysium.
It's
Oblivion.
It's a one-word sci-fi movie.
Yeah, with giant white ships.
And a shirtless Tom Cruise.
That's true. Well, he's not shirtless in Elysium, but Matt Damon is. Matt Damon. This one was okay. It actually looks great on Blu-ray, and that's the biggest thing about this movie. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. It's a pretty movie. And actually, Tom Cruise is the most natural he's been in years in this movie. So I'll give it points for that.
Yeah, that's true. He's not just like forcing an almost nude scene.
There's
also Mud, which is I haven't had a chance to see because of a kerfuffle at the screening.
Yeah.
That we had.
I really wanted to see it, but I'm glad I missed the kerfuffle,
yeah.
Actually.
It's getting a lot of good reviews, and it's showing up already on a lot of preemptive top 10 lists.
Nice. And it's so, Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. He plays a fugitive who's helped along by a couple kids. Then there's also The Place Beyond the Pines, which is about 5 hours long.
And I'm still trying to figure out what it's about.
It's about fatherhood and fidelity and doing the right thing.
And it's Ryan Gosling.
And Ryan Gosling on a motorcycle.
Yes.
There's also
weird tattoos.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Sapphires, which I didn't see at all. You didn't see.
No.
That's Chris Dowd.
Mm-hmm.
O'Dowd?
O'Dowd, I believe, O'Dowd, yes.
Okay. Leading a Supremes-type group.
Yes.
He's not a Supreme. He just runs them, I guess.
It might be more entertaining if he were,
That's
though.
True. You also got Aftershock, the somewhat rapey earthquake drama in Chile.
Right. That's a great explanation
just,
of that one.
Well, it's
somewhat
very
rapey.
Just somewhat rapey. Not as rapey as it was before they made edits that Harvey Weinstein had nothing to do with. I hear because like apparently during the early like Fantastic Fest screening, it was like just like everywhere.
Well, there you have it.
Then there's also Smash Season 2, which is now canceled, so you can see how the whole Broadway drama of that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
There's Midsummer's Murders Set 22, which is
Set 22.
It's been out for 22 years.
Yikes.
It's a British TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the kind of things I'd watch with my mom on PBS
nice,
when I was a
yeah.
kid. And I keep expecting, it's about these murders happening in this very nice and quaint
of
English
course, yeah.
community. Everyone's very, it's the most polite murders you're ever going to run into. And they got some twisted stuff going on. It's actually pretty good.
All right.
If you get a chance to see it. And then Community Season 4.
Community.
Community. So awesome.
This was such a controversial season. But I enjoyed it anyway.
I did like it.
I did.
Pop, pop!
Nice.
The stinker, I'm putting the stinker as To the Wonder, which is Terrence Malick's latest film.
I haven't seen it, but I will fully agree with you.
You don't have anything else you want to put in the stinker?
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. We got to go right now because we're done with the show. We will talk to you next week when we talk about Jobs, Kick-Ass, Lee Daniels, Butler, and Paranoia.
See ya.